Welcome to this week's One Up Yours podcast. This is Garnet Lee, and I've got a nice group here together. I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Sure. This is Sam Kennedy, the editor-in-chief of One Up.
This is Giancarlo Veronini, news editor for the official PlayStation magazine.
And I'm Shane Bettenhausen, the executive editor of Electronic Gaming Monthly.
So I thought I'd start off with a little something different this week, start off kind of doing this thing of, like, what are you playing lately? So I'm going to throw it out there. Sam, what you been playing?
Well, this week I've been playing Pursuit Force for the PSP because I'm reviewing it. And it's okay.
It's okay. Well, that's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It looks good. It's got a lot of action. You're just basically chasing down criminals and whatnot.
Well, it's high concept stuff,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
You were saying, Shane, it's like totally split on this game, huh?
Yeah, like, you know, I've seen it get as high as eights, and we gave it a 3.
Wow.
Whoa.
Like, people are all over the place.
Really? I think it's okay.
Well, it's original, it has good graphics, mm-hmm. but I've heard the gameplay is kind of repetitive.
It's very repetitive.
It's supposed to be like Chase HQ or something like that.
Yeah, it's very repetitive. You do the same thing and just in different environments and different criminals that you're chasing. And
dude, Chase HQ is not the comparison I'd be wanting to hear.
Well, it's funny, because Alex Ward at Criterion is a really huge fan of that game, and he's like, you know, if you like Chase HQ, you'll love this game. And so
that's not such a ringing endorsement to me. I don't know. I mean, Chase HQ really didn't, like, you know, keep me up at night or anything.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a simple game.
Yeah,
and that's
not
what people necessarily want.
Yeah,
these days.
Might not be bad for PSP though. Handheld, simple, right?
Yeah.
Read Sam's review.
Read Sam's review. Yeah. When do we have that up?
I think next Tuesday, I guess, when the game comes out.
All right, cool. GC, what you been playing, man?
Well, I don't ever actually stop playing Guitar Hero. So I've been playing that still. I've been playing a lot of DS stuff lately, too. I know I'm not supposed to be playing DS stuff because I work for OPM, but I've been playing Age of Empires, which is pretty good. It's a little rough in some parts, but... I've been playing that, and Phoenix Wright, been trying to finish that as well. Cool. I've been playing a little bit of Getting Up for PS2.
Wow.
I just wanted to see how it turned out, because Mark Echo was so vocal about the game, and I think he actually had a really good vision for it. I don't think a collective necessarily executed entirely well on that vision, but it's an all right game.
Coolest special edition package ever, though.
Yes.
Freaking tin with the box and the book.
Man,
that
book,
thing's awesome.
The book is very nice. Yes.
So whatever, if you're doing a special edition, that's what it should look like, mm-hmm. I think.
Absolutely.
You know? I don't know. Maybe Metal Gear will be just as good.
Yeah, probably.
What do you think? What have you been playing, Shane?
Kingdom Hearts 2 for review.
Cool.
And also Capcom Classics Collection for PSP, which is awesome.
Yes.
Really? You going old school?
It's just, you know, it's like 20 games, and they're all Wi-Fi playable with other people.
Cool thing is, like, you can just, like, join into anybody else's game, like, while they're playing. So if someone's playing, like, Final Fight, you can just, like, jump in, and it's totally awesome.
It's a really good bargain, too. Like, you get a lot of games, and they're not, like, really crappy old games. They're kind of, like, you know, early 90s, late 80s stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of stuff you haven't seen in years. It's really good.
Strider's on there, right?
Yeah, Strider's on there.
Which is weird that it wasn't on, like, the PS2 collection, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah. Weird. But, and also, as always, we're always playing Soul Calibur 3 every day.
I see you guys playing that every day.
We're really into it.
And what's your latest character on that?
You know, I usually play Ivy. She's my regular mainstay, but I have some other characters I play on the side. But yeah, it's, you know, pretty intense competition.
Do you use the guy with the owl head?
I don't use Alcadan, no.
That's too bad.
Did you got to be pro to go Ivy? I mean, she takes a lot of time to learn the moves and actually skill.
Yeah, I've been playing her for like 8 years now, whatever, since Soul Calibur first came out. So.
That's awesome. It's awesome. I was reminded this week because I've been playing both Graw and then Splinter Cell on PSP. It's like, dude, when did Tom Clancy, like, blow up so big that it's like you can't throw a book through a game store and not hit a Tom Clancy?
Well, you know, he owns a tank.
He owns a tank.
Yeah.
Really?
No
way.
Drives around on his tank.
Bizarre. Yeah.
That is totally strange. You want Tom Clancy, I got a tank. Cool, you want to check it out?
I also don't buy the whole thing that he used to just sell insurance or whatever to.
Yeah.
That guy's a total scam artist.
Be careful, he does have a tank, Shaka.
He does.
I'm sure there's like cement in the barrel or something, so he can't fire the thing. Kind of kills me, though. I mean, you know, how we would have expected back in the day when they first started. What was his first game? Was it Rainbow Six?
Yeah.
I didn't ever see Rainbow Six becoming like the launching pad for this whole line of 25 million military games.
Well, I don't think Rainbow Six was the launching pad for that. I think other tactical shooters that were much better than Rainbow Six kind of elevated the whole genre, and mm-hmm. then people were like, oh, hey, here's a Tom Clancy game that kind of does the same sort of thing. So I don't think it was necessarily that game that did it, but you know, it got Tom Clancy's foot in the door, certainly, but I don't know that, yeah, that it was like the be all end all of that.
They were kind of searching for a while before they hit Sam Fisher and Splinter Cell too, huh? He's kind of like the front guy now.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's pretty amazing about the Tom Clancy thing is there are spinoffs of spinoffs now. Like Ghost Recon was a spinoff of Rainbow Six. Mm-hmm. And now it's its own franchise. And, like, you know, they do expansion packs. And, like, they've kind of turned the Xbox market into more of a PC market with these, like, standalone expansion packs. And the new Rainbow Six game is, like, a Clips episode. Seriously. And so is Splinter Cell for PSP. Mm-hmm. Those two games are, like, levels from past games represented to you. It's like a Clips episode.
That's bizarre.
It's bizarre, and it's kind of lame, I think.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Well, you know, like, the PC community might agree with you that they're getting lazy because, like, if you look out on the boards right now, the PC community is not very happy about the latest Rainbow Six, the lockdown for PC. Mm-hmm. They're all like, man, first of all, you can't even crouch in the game. You can't crouch in the game. Your Rainbow Six, you can't crouch in the game. No, what's up with that?
Yeah.
So they're just like, you know, maybe they are starting to get to a point where they're kind of mailing it on some, but then you play Graw.
That's true.
Yeah, maybe just the entire team is arthritic and they can't kneel over.
it's the old folks Rainbow 16. They're getting geriatric, man. They've been through this next gen thing already once. All right, so we just put up this big feature on PS3 that Sam, you had a big hand in.
Yeah.
How come now? Why are we talking about PS3 now again?
Well, you know, I think it's just because, most importantly, it's just because of the date, the release date, because Sony keeps, you know, insisting that it's still spring, and you know,
I thought they officially went on the record now and said it was going to be fall.
Not officially. They've Nvidia hinted did. That it could slip.
Right. Well, Nvidia said they don't intend to make any money in this fiscal year on PlayStation
3. Right, but then you have Sony who still haven't actually admitted that it's going to be later.
It's crazy that Sony is waiting until E3 to like tell us what they're doing. You know?
Right,
that's insane. Right.
There's a lot of speculation out there, and we just kind of wanted to address everything and say, here's everything we possibly know about the system, what it's going to be, how many, like, the specs, the games. We went through every single game that we know about. I think it was something like 135 different games or something, like all the Japanese games too, the Mahjongs and whatnot. But yeah, we tried to put together everything we know into one feature
with absolutely no help from Sony. Because
the one thing to keep in mind about Sony too is like they're the masters of perpetual hype. I mean, they don't have to do anything, and you know the hype just keeps on going. It's just that whole tight mouth strategy works really, really well for them. Whereas you have Microsoft, who does the viral marketing thing. They do all this stuff, and it works well for them too. But it's just, I think it's funny that they announced the spring release date like a year ago. People expect them to hold to that just because they haven't said anything else.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think it's been a really elaborate magic trick on their part, keeping the people who are afraid of buying a 360 because they think the PS3 is going to keep coming out next month. Mm-hmm. No, it's coming next month. I can't get a 360. It's coming out next month.
Right.
You know? So
that's totally true. That's exactly what they did when they launched the PS2 against the Dreamcast.
Right.
Same exact strategy.
Yeah. And it's like the PS2, they had that event over the summer or something, where they showed all this stuff. And then the launch came in Japan like a few months later. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think the same thing is going to happen here where we'll see stuff at E3 and they'll show all this stuff. And then, the Japanese launch is, fall.
I think it'll be like September in Japan and November here. That's my prediction for PS3.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, God. John Davison just joined us.
He's a British man.
How you doing?
I'm running late. Sorry. I was listening to you talking about that.
Yeah.
I think it's shocking the way that the community's responded to that story already. The way that it's divided people just by the very existence of the story. Because clearly, Sam, you are in Sony's pocket.
Even though Sony didn't help at all with the feature.
Exactly. But it doesn't matter. You are bias.
Yeah.
You are the embodiment of bias.
Yep.
And for running that column from Nick last week, clearly that shows that you hate Microsoft. And you, Shane, your boss is Dan Hsu. He hates Microsoft because look at what a hard time he gave Peter Moore.
Peter Moore actually specifically hates me. I reviewed Cameo. And
exactly.
He hates me.
Yeah. And now you hate him back.
So therefore, you hate Microsoft and you are a Sony lover. And UGC, you work on the official PlayStation magazine.
Right.
So,
I love Sony.
Oh, and you know what? Right. Do you have to say anything about the Xbox?
No, of course.
I'm a Nintendo fanboy.
Yeah.
Well, Giancarlo was just talking about he only plays DS games right now. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, God. Running interviews with Xbox people.
But clearly, But Sony pays you to say nice things about.
Of course, right? All the time. Yeah. All the time.
Now, how much cash did you make from that PS3 story, son? Big fat envelope full of used notes, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I actually got a boat made out of gold when I ran that story on what's wrong with the PSP.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Because awesome. I was sent a hat made out of money for that.
Maybe I'll buy a tank now.
Like you and Tom Clancy.
You and Tom Clancy can fight.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
But, you know, talking about PS3, I got to say, a lot of third parties are going ahead and showing some of their games publicly. I can't say outright that this is a PS3 game, but it is. But they haven't gotten the approval. You're not supposed to be showing these things. And, like, you know, it's kind of hit and miss. Should they be showing these games? Because some of them that I've seen don't look as good as you think they would. And, like, maybe Sony wouldn't want them showing the games
some
in this state.
The interesting feedback on some of the communities that picked up on the PS3 story, like Slashdot and Evil Avatar, those guys. One of the sort of common comments was the most interesting stuff on this PS3 list is the stuff that we already know is multi-format. Which is unusual for the PlayStation around launch. Usually there are some franchises that we know are going to be exclusive that people get excited about, but that doesn't seem to be happening yet.
Well, they're protecting all of that. I mean, I think E3, it's going to be, here are 8 exclusive games that you haven't seen before that are awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I think might happen too is that, you know, you're going to see something that happens similarly with the Xbox launch, where the PS3 is going to have stuff that the 360 games don't have. Especially, like, I guarantee you Madden for the PS3 is not going to be as, you know, bare bones as, or whatever, as, you know, the 360 version of Madden was. I don't know, you know, to what extent it's going to go, whether they have exclusive levels. I don't know that's going to go that far, but I certainly think that developers are probably going to, or at least Sony is going to encourage them to, you know, take advantage of everything that PS3 has to offer at launch and push them to include features that are not in 360 versions of these games.
But in terms of like the major franchises, though, you look at that list and you've got like Final Fantasy 13, and you've got what's that?
You just made that up. No.
I mean,
Gunn has a microphone, so I'm going to share mine. You can either come close.
Wow.
This game is real.
Isn't this sweet? This is a picture, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very romantic.
You should see this. We're sharing.
Let me stick my mic closer to your mouth.
Oh, baby, I feel really uncomfortable right now.
You
know what we need? We need like the Stern booth. Then we could have like babes come in and judge us. Like, you know.
Yeah, make your point because this is uncomfortable.
So you made up the whole thing about Final Fantasy. I read that you made up the whole thing about Final Fantasy just because you're a Sony fan.
Oh, whatever.
It's real.
Yeah.
I mean, they've leaked a little bit on it, and it is, you know,
real. I could probably sit here and tell you Final Fantasy 22 is coming out, and I wouldn't be lying. Right.
It's like, oh, you know, I heard they're making a new Madden as well. Yeah. Need to break it.
But my point, though, is that you've got Final Fantasy 13, you've got Metal Gear Solid, you've got there are a ton of big Tekken, all those big Sony franchises.
Right.
They're there.
Yeah.
Like, that's enough to get anyone. And those are all, in theory, exclusive.
Right. But I think you're talking more about, like, the Ubisoft or the EA or the Activision, those kind of games. Like, you know, what's going to make me buy Condemned or Call of Duty on PS3? Like, is it really different enough? You know, is Sony going to make them make 30% new content?
And the longer it goes, the stronger the 360 is going to get. I mean, just look at the next 2 weeks. We've got Ghost Recon next week, Oblivion on the 20th.
Well, but you're acting like three games is some like cavalcade of excitement. Like, no, there should be three games. There should be games people want to buy. There is a huge barren wasteland of 360 games, if you ask me. Like, most of what's coming out the next 3 months are ports. Mm-hmm. There are like the Graz and, you know, the stuff like that, Oblivion. But, you know, if you've seen like Dynasty Warriors or even Burnout, it's like, it's tough to get excited about these games. Mm-hmm. It's the same game you've seen.
When's To Human coming?
November.
Okay, so there's a lot in the back end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Crackdown, Gears of War, and Too Human, if those can come out this fall, that'd be a really good lineup for them.
Right.
I don't know if all three of them can come out this fall.
What about the other trilogy that I can never remember?
Mass Effect?
Mass Effect.
BioWare, maybe this fall. I haven't seen much on it.
So there's The Void is this summer and
spring, summer, almost nothing.
So after Oblivion, what is that?
Absolutely.
Xbox Live.
Oblivion is the marker of Oblivion.
Yeah. After that, it's all Oblivion.
But it's 100 hours.
It's what? Sorry, Garnet's talking as well.
But it's 100 hours worth of gameplay, so that'll keep you busy all summer long. You don't need anything else. You know, that and Geometry Wars, you're set.
Right. No, I'm just excited about a lot more of the Xbox Live Arcade games coming.
Well, yeah.
The Midway stuff now, too. Like, Paperboy and... those games.
And that's I mean, the really like funny thing. I mean, I wrote in my blog like 8 months ago when I updated it. Sorry, Sam. that you know, I was like talking about these, you know, the little ads where it's like shoot the duck and win an Xbox 360. And I like sitting there and clicking. It's like, wow, this is kind of fun, you know, and just the simple whole simple thing.
You
it's
play, funny.
You're that
you
play guy.
Those banner ads. I do play them, and they're awesome. I highly recommend
my favorite one is like the run from the paparazzi. You're like Angelina Jolie. Have you seen this one?
Yeah, they're all very good and all very, very creative. I give them, I don't know, some sort of
rating. But okay, I think people are so into Xbox Live Arcade because there aren't any real games. I know I play Geometry Wars, I love it, but the fact that everybody I know downloads every shitty game that comes up there, like, and most of them are shitty, and they're excited about these shitty games, and like, if there were real games in the store that you could go and buy for Xbox, you wouldn't be talking about Outpost Kaloki X. Seriously. Like, we're so hungry for games for 360. We're like starving.
That's true, but I think there's something to be said for like these really simple games that people would just want to pick up and play. Like, they don't care about the graphics or anything.
But I want
else.
Them to be like, really good. And I feel that like the majority of the Xbox Live Arcade games right now are not really good. And what I want is like really top tier developers to send a little team to make a game like this. And like, we ran in the new EGM that's out right now, we have a rumor that Bungie is making an original Xbox Live Arcade game. And I'm pretty excited.
So it's not going to be Marathon then? Because that was a rumor for a while.
Well, we don't know what it is. But if it's a remake of Marathon, I mean, like, you know, Marathon's like 15 years old.
Our producer's eyes just lit up.
Well, because he's a Mac. Mac people are, Marathon. But no, like, the rest of us would probably want something original. Like, if they made a Halo, not a Halo game, but like something in the Halo universe, it could be something simple. But
you were talking about that there aren't Xbox One games going to appear at some point.
That seemed to be what they were hinting at, that eventually the backwards compatibility problem would be got around by just offering everything up as a download. But that's going to require a bigger hard drive.
Right.
Well, you see what they're doing with Xbox One. They're re-releasing all these games for $10. There's 16 games coming out for $10.
Well, and going on what you said, you know, Capcom said at that event that it needs to make money through other means because it's not going to make money through next-gen games. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if these companies do start making these small teams for Xbox Live Arcade downloads so that they can make up the cost of...
Are the 10 Platinum games, are they all 360 compatible?
You know, I don't know. There's some weird stuff on there. Like, why republish Fusion Frenzy? That's my question.
Well, yeah.
Why not? No.
Like, even for $10, you can
spend
$10.
I need to look into this, but I think the smart thing for them to do is to bang out everything that's on the compatibility list for $10.
$10. Right. That is a good idea.
Are you listening, Peter?
All right, so... I get the headset now. Woo! So if that's where Microsoft has been, one of the things that they didn't get that they wanted was the big launch in Japan, and then like this week we've seen like what a big launch in Japan is like with DS Lite. So,
well, what's crazy about that? It's a big launch of a redesigned console. They managed to build this incredible demand. You haven't been able to buy a DS for like 2 months in Japan,
right?
And like last year, DS ruled the charts. Every DS game is like, there's several million selling games. You can't get enough. So it comes out the DS Lite, and it's undershipped. Only one of the three colors was ready that day. Apparently, huge lines everywhere. It's impossible. It's like mania there.
Well, it's like, I mean, it's the same phenomenon with like Apple. I mean, there's so many comparisons made between Nintendo and Apple that, you know, the hardcore fans are the people that will buy any new Nintendo thing regardless of what it is or what it does.
Right. But apparently, though, the weird thing was, this isn't like the hardcore otaku like nerds. It was like adults and stuff, like people just wanted DSs to play like Brain Training or
Dude, they've done such a good job. But that's what they've done so well there, is they've made it to where the salarymen want to sit for 10 minutes on the train and play Brain. Talk about that game, because you've checked it out.
I got to try the American version of Brain Training, and it's completely unlike anything I've ever played. It's a kind of game, like, my mom, who does not play games, I would say, mom, try this, and she would actually play it and she would like it, because it stimulates your brain. You're doing all these crazy things really quickly, and yeah, it's just really addictive and unique, and I think it's going to be huge.
Is it like WarioWare, kind of?
Dude, it doesn't even have the graphics of WarioWare. I mean, this thing is like, it's so plain, but it's like so addictive.
I mean, you open your DS like sideways like a book, and on this side it has like, you know, the questions, the problems, and you're like quickly writing the answers here as fast as you can, and it's just really engaging. You have to try it. Like, you can't... Like, and like, you see a screenshot, it looks like nothing, and like, you talk about it, it sounds weird, but like, I think when you actually get your hands on it, and they're brilliant, they're making it $20.
Yeah.
That's brilliant, so...
PSP needs more games like that.
Well, in Japan, now they are. Like, it's funny. Like, the PSP was supposed to pull handheld gaming out of the ghetto.
Right.
But because it's getting trounced in Japan by DS, now Sony and all these third parties are fast-tracking, like, DS-style games. There's, like, Nintendo's rip-offs, Brain Training rip-offs, Animal Crossing rip-offs from Sony. There's a game that is basically Animal Crossing coming out from Sony, which is kind of funny that they're, like, turning so reactionary when they were supposed to be this, you know, this, you know, trailblazing new idea in handheld gaming.
Well, I mean, I think that just goes to show you, I mean, people don't necessarily want to play console games on a handheld. Like, I mean, there are just so many games for the PSP that are just either ports or they're just, I mean, they're console style games that just aren't suited for handheld experiences. And they're just
the Splinter Cell.
Yeah. Right.
The Splinter Cell. I mean, the game is beautiful. I've been playing it this week, and it's really pretty. It looks good, except for the fact that you can't see it because it's so dark. Minor problem there. But every time I'm playing, I'm thinking, why would I not want to be sitting at home playing this?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, as games are coming out now, on the same day you can buy, like, X-Men Legends 2 for PS2 or PSP, well, which are you going to buy? You know, like, are you excited about playing on your PSP, or would you rather go home and play an RPG? It's a big question.
Yeah, and it seems like Sony's starting to take a policy of discouraging companies from actually porting even just beyond the whole 30% new content thing.
Do you think? I think they're encouraging ports.
From the
30% new content thing.
Well, it's just, you know, I don't know if it was 30% new content. I don't know if that's the exact thing. But it's basically like, okay, you need to add like mini games or something. There needs to be at least 30% new content in the PSP version.
So that was like something they actually gave to developers as a guideline of, if you're going PSP with a game and taking it over, here's what you need to do.
Right, and that's why you just saw, like, okay, here's a mini game section, or here you can do this. You have a third punch instead of just two. You know, it's like...
that's my 30% right there.
Yeah, it's really, really lame attempts at adding content. You know, some of them were fun, but yeah, I mean, I think Sony actually is starting to realize that. I mean, they know that... you know, sales, you know, if you do have a PSP game and a PS2 game on store shelves released at the same day, that they're going to cannibalize each other in terms of sales. And they seem to be aware of that, but it'll be interesting to see if they actually start to encourage, you know, tell developers, hey, like, why don't you make an original game instead of just doing a port or a variation even of just a PS2 game. So...
one thing PSP did do was they brought the super sexy version out, you know, right from the start. Unlike DS, because we got to see that the other day.
Right.
And what did you think?
Oh, it's so much better. It's what it should have been. It's really tough to go back after playing it. It's so much more sophisticated and just feels like something you're not embarrassed to be seen carrying around, you know?
And the screens look
Oh, the screen
great.
Is so bright. Yeah. it's a huge upgrade.
So, you know, it's obviously taking a lot of cues from Apple, which is, we've talked about that kind of thing before. But one thing I thought was strange is it doesn't have the Nintendo name on the outside of it.
Hmm. It has some sort of like DS logo.
Right, it has the DS logo now, but that's like the first thing. Have you ever seen anything from them that didn't have Nintendo on it?
That's true. That's kind of
weird. Point. Huh?
But, you know, I think the secret is they want us to all buy DS Lights, and then we can give our old DS to somebody else as like a hand-me-down. Because I think it's, you know, why else? Why would you keep it?
Well, I wonder if that's because the association that Nintendo is a, you know, a toy company, and they just want to, you know, get rid of that name on the outside of the DS,
right, and make it just look cooler and feel cooler.
It's for adults, not just for kids. Mm-hmm.
You said something, the PSP, the DS, and the Apple connection to all that. Something that's interesting is the rumors that Sony may change direction with the way they want to distribute games. Mm-hmm. We're seeing in the movie space that UMDs and DVDs are, they're not really cannibalizing each other, but the UMDs aren't as successful as people thought they were going to be. I mean, do you think that we could see that across the board on PSP and eventually maybe a new model and a download model for games?
I think if Sony had some sort of infrastructure in place for that, they would definitely do that. They just seem to be, at this point, they seem to be a little bit lost in terms of just anything related to online, like whether it's downloadable content.
UMDs are very, very expensive to make.
Right.
I mean, they're much more than even a custom DVD with the PS2 encryption on it. And it just seems that what's hurting the UMD sales are the fact that people can pull video from the web.
Well, right. And speaking with some Sony people yesterday, you know, they said that, you know, they really are going to start pushing sort of the connectivity aspects of the PSP even more. In terms of music, movies, in terms of everything, you know, they have that site where you can download the trailers and stuff like that. You know, I think they're going to build off of that and start making sort of bigger things. So, yeah, I mean, I think we probably would start seeing things like movies
being downloadable. Did you see how much the 4 gig memory stick is?
Mm-mm.
Same price as the PSP.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what the 8 gig is going to cost. Like $1,000 or something, you know. But, you know, I think maybe Sony's waiting until they show off everything that PlayStation World or whatever it's called is going to do for PS3, because I think... They should connect those services together.
I thought it was interesting the SOCOM downloads announcement, with the way the round the hard drive thing was that it will use the PSP as a storage device for those levels, or a USB thumb drive as a storage. Like basically,
so
anything,
if you don't have a hard drive,
if you don't have a hard drive, anything you can plug into one of the holes on the PS2, you can dump those levels onto.
It's a weird workaround, though. Yeah. You know.
Well, I just did an interview literally this morning with Seth Luizzi, and you can read all about it in the May issue of OPM. But
whoring.
Yeah. Anyway. He commented on, Sony just kind of dropping the hard drive, and that they've been scrambling, to find ways to distribute things like that. And it kind of sounds like, they've been sort of lost. They don't really know what to do. So they're just basically throwing everything out there and seeing what works. And if something does end up standing out, if some delivery method ends up standing out amongst everything else, then they'll just go with that. Mm-hmm. But at this point,
there was confusion over the hard drive thing on the PS3 as well. There's still are they going to do two versions? Is it going to have a hard drive? You guys heard anything on that?
Last I heard, yes, it does have a hard drive. That's what I heard. But
we have no idea how big it is.
We have no idea how big it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's the last thing we heard too, is that, it will have a hard drive, just because it seems, there's the whole idea that the PS3 is going to be the centerpiece of everything. And in order for that to happen, then it will have to have a hard drive. Mm-hmm. But as far as actual details go, Sony's just being so tight-lipped about everything that, all you can pretty much do right now is speculate.
I think the PS3 will have a great online service. I just have a hunch.
Yeah.
I've heard.
What has Sony done online?
Well, nothing. But no, see, that's the thing.
They learn from their mistakes.
They learn from their mistakes.
I've heard rumblings. The GDC, the big keynote Phil Harrison is giving, is about their service. And, they've had time to look at what Microsoft did.
Yeah.
I think it's going
to
be a lot.
But they had time to look at what Apple did, and then they launched Kinect.
That's true.
Yeah, it's funny because you have everybody saying, okay, we want Xbox Live on PS3, but developers are saying something totally... A lot of developers are saying something totally different, that they don't necessarily care for Xbox Live because... of it's just such a closed architecture.
Right.
They can't just add stuff.
All the MMO guys are starting to rumble about that right now, that Live is just not compatible with the way they want to do things.
And imagine if Sony had a meeting with Blizzard, and Blizzard's like, hey, we can do WoW for PS3 just as long as you make it open architecture.
Sign here.
Exactly.
if that were to be announced, whoever gets World of Warcraft, whoever gets a Blizzard MMO on their console, that's going to be colossal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Now
it's not looking like Microsoft.
Right.
Yeah, I would have been easily convinced that, they're just going to do an Xbox Live style online service, but now it's just based on what some developers are saying.
I also think it's going to be free. I think it's very important. I think both Nintendo and Sony realize that, you're splintering your market. And, we all do Xbox Live, but, the majority of gamers don't. The majority of gamers don't want to spend that money.
Right.
So.
Microsoft, I like their strategy.
Hang on, Garnet wants to challenge.
Okay. Wait. You can't leave out there that the majority of gamers don't play Xbox Live
When only 10% of Xbox One owners did Xbox Live, I can say the majority of gamers did not do Xbox Live.
You can say that, okay, so on current generation, but what about 360?
More people are hooking into it because you can hook in for free.
Because you can, that's exactly right. You can get some stuff
and
for
they
free.
Are, they are
can,
building. Yeah. I think they could reach 25% of their install base this time, but they're not going to... it's still 75% of the people buying a system.
And I think you're lowballing. I genuinely think you're lowballing.
I do. I am not lowballing.
Because this is not like a linear progression sort of thing. It's not like, 10% this generation, 25% next generation, 50%. This is kind of a situation where when Xbox came out, we were still very much a dial-up nation. And we're not a dial-up nation anymore.
They're going to give you numbers that like 70% of people are hooking the internet up to that and trying the silver free service. But people are not spending the money.
What's going to happen the first time they have one of these free weekends where you can hop on as a silver player and play some games
online?
That's
coming up. That's like next weekend.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But we'll see. I don't think people want to spend the money. I don't think people see the value.
Really?
I really think that.
So would you argue then that there's like still a big place for single player games in the world?
Definitely. And I think, if Nintendo and Sony manage to make it free, that's what people want. Because you're already spending money for the game, you're spending money for the console, you're spending money for a broadband, you're spending money on your house and everything. Like, it's another thing you have to spend money on. People don't like spending money.
I like spending money. I like spending the money Sony sends me to brag on them.
If Sony can make a slightly crippled version of Xbox Live that's free, then like Microsoft is kind of screwed.
Well, but then
know.
But then you have to, I mean, where do they make up the costs? Like, I mean, they have to make money on this stuff somehow.
Well, I mean, MMOs, anything with server side stuff, that'll cost, still cost money. Mm-hmm. But the thing, the idea of spending like $14 to play an MMO on Xbox Live plus spending $50 for Xbox Live plus the Xbox, you know, it's
so just out. Stick with the Phantasy Star model and move on. Don't worry about it.
I think so, yeah.
Because if they, so what you're saying then is if PS3 can do enough to satisfy the hardcore people who want to get online, who will monkey around with it being a little bit, you know, less user friendly,
right,
then that's plenty. That'll handle the, you know, 25% or whatever it is this generation wants to play online. Everybody else says, screw it, we're playing single player anyway, and Live doesn't even factor into the equation.
Well, I think if it's free, and if you see what, like, what's happened with the DS, there's tons of people playing Mario Kart and Animal Crossing mm-hmm. on the Wi-Fi service. Like, Nintendo, it's a huge success. I mean, you know, considering how difficult it is to use the friend code bullshit and everything, it shows you that people are willing to do it if it's free. More people are willing to do it if it's free. I think that's the big barrier to entry still.
So that's, I guess, hey, if you disagree, you know where to reach Shane. You can hit us right up on the forums. Go yeah. in there and say, I mean, Shane, dude, you're crazy.
Well, if you're like the 13-year-old trash talker who's on Xbox Live, you're going to disagree with me. But that's all who's on Xbox Live. I play Xbox Live.
Dude, I don't need any more YouTube videos of that. I need no more YouTube videos of people screaming through Live. I'm over it.
Yeah.
I don't care how big their equipment is. I don't care what kind of crazy things they want to do, all that kind of stuff. I don't need any more of that.
I mean, you know, I think Xbox Live is still, it's like this locker room mentality of 16-year-old kids. Like, would you send your wife to play a game on Xbox Live?
Dude, I do that every night. I just I just take her out there and go play some Live games.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Get me more points and stuff.
That's right.
Well, I think that's the thing about Xbox Live, though, is they're trying to force you to like go into these communities where you're playing with people that you know won't be that way.
I mean, is it working?
In some cases, yeah. I mean, I know from my own personal experience that there's just this really mass. There's like a bunch of little massive, tight knit communities that, that they all play. You know, they play during the day. They play, you know, all the new games that come out. They're like, "Oh, are you going to be on tonight?" and all this other stuff. And so,
well, I'll tell you what. That's a good spot to let people out there who are listening to us, if they have something to say about that, jump in the forum for us and say, tell us whether you agree with Shane or me or GC, or where do you think that online thing is going? How much does it matter to you? And on that note, we're going to wrap it up for this week, and we'll see you next week.